you, everybody, for staying for the Bhagavad Gita class. Actually, I'm not exactly from Bhaktivedanta Manor. There's another place in England you may have heard of, famous for football. Who knows? It's a famous place in England for football. Nobody's interested in football here. That's good. That's a good start. Manchester. Manchester United and all that. But anyway, there is a temple in Manchester, you'll be pleased to know. The temple in Manchester is only small, like half the size of this. No, actually, one third of the size of this temple room here. Unlike the Manchester United football ground, which holds 80,000 people. So, unfortunately, one day maybe we'll be able to take that over. But at the moment, we have to be satisfied with a small temple there. So it's very inspiring and encouraging to come here, where it's such a vibrant spiritual community, and be able to try and serve you in a small way by trying to understand and speak something about Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So we're today chanting, we're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, chapter 14, which is entitled The Three Modes of Material Nature, text 8. So, if you can please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tamastva jnana jam vidhi Mohanam sarva dehinam Pramadalasya nidrabis Tannibadnati bharata. So translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. O son of Bharata, know that the mode of darkness born of ignorance is the delusion of all embodied living entities. The results of this mode are madness, indolence, and sleep, which bind the conditioned soul. So please repeat after me. O son of Bharata, purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the specific application of the word tu is very significant. This means that the mode of ignorance is a very peculiar qualification of the embodied soul. The mode of ignorance is just the opposite of the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, by development of knowledge, one can understand what is what. But the mode of ignorance is just the opposite. Everyone under the spell of the mode of ignorance becomes mad, and a madman cannot understand what is what. Instead of making advancement, one becomes degraded. The definition of the mode of ignorance is stated in the Vedic literature. Vastu yatatmya jnanavarkaram viparyaya jnana janakam tamaha. Under the spell of ignorance, one cannot understand a thing as it is. For example, everyone can see that his grandfather has died, and therefore he will also die. Man is mortal. The children that he conceives will also die. So death is sure. Still, people are madly accumulating money and working very hard all day and night, not caring for the eternal spirit. This is madness. In their madness, they are very reluctant to make advancement in spiritual understanding. Such people are very lazy. When they are invited to associate for spiritual understanding, they are not much interested. They are not even active like the man who is controlled by the mode of passion. Thus, another symptom of one embedded in the mode of ignorance is that he sleeps more than is required. 6 hours of sleep is sufficient, but a man in the mode of ignorance sleeps at least 10 or 12 hours a day. Such a man appears to be always dejected and is addicted to intoxicants and sleeping. These are the symptoms of a person conditioned by the mode of ignorance. So, verse again. Tamas tvagyana jam vidhi mohanam sarvadehinam pramadalasyam nidrabis tan nibadnati bharata. O son of Bharata, know that the mode of darkness, born of ignorance, is the delusion of all embodied living entities. The results of this mode are madness, indolence, and sleep, which bind the conditioned soul. So, in this chapter, Lord Krishna is speaking to the son of Bharata, or Arjuna, and he's helping him to get out actually of the modes of nature. Arjuna is actually a pure devotee, but just for our sake, he's been placed into illusion so that we can receive this transcendental knowledge. Arjuna is a great friend of Krishna, so there's no question of really Arjuna being in illusion. But unfortunately, somehow or other, we're not such good friends of Krishna. We've decided to leave Krishna and come to this material world. And in this material world, we have to take on a body, a material body, which is influenced by the modes of material nature. And this is inevitable. We cannot avoid the influence of the modes of material nature if we decide to turn our backs on Krishna. Krishna is the source of our being. He says, Aham savasya prabhavo matar sarvam pravatate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. So if everything emanates from Krishna, then our whole life actually emanates from Krishna. Everything that sustains our life emanates from Krishna. The food we eat, Krishna's providing. He's providing the rain that waters the ground. He's provided that ground which is becomes fertile by that rain. He's provided the seed which actually goes into that ground. He's provided the sun that gives energy to that seed to grow. And he provided just like yesterday we had a wonderful class by Madan Gopal Prabhu all about the cow and how the cow actually has a special vein. I've forgotten, it was Ketu Nadia or something, vein on its back, the Vedic cow. And it absorbs the energy. Energy is coming from the sun, from the atmosphere, the prana. So in the same way, also the plants, they absorb, maybe by another process, photosynthesis, whatever it may be, they absorb the energies that Krishna is giving through the sun, through the air. They're also through their roots, they're absorbing the nutrients from the earth. So all those everything is actually provided by Krishna, just like. We're thinking actually that we're manufacturing, we're so advanced, we're manufacturing so many items for our benefit, food items, but also so many other items, clothes. But where are the original ingredients coming from? The original ingredients, we've not actually made anything. Srila Prabhupada describes in many places that actually we've made nothing. We're just transforming a few things here and there. We take some raw ingredients and then we fiddle around with it a little bit. Krishna gives us a little intelligence and we make it into something else. And if we have real intelligence, so we actually follow his directions. Just like going back to the example of the cow, if we follow the original culture, Vedic culture, then the products coming from the cow are so valuable. Everything that comes from the cow is pure, uncontaminated. So, and if we use those in a proper manner, then actually it's so beneficial for human life. But unfortunately, because of our mental speculation, because of our ignorance caused by taking on a mentality contrary to the wishes of Krishna, we are forgetting our real culture and how we can actually lead a proper life and be happy in this world. And at the end, achieve the goal of this life. And what is the goal of this life? Yes, go back home, back to Godhead. Or? Sorry? Sri Krishna, yes. Love for Krishna. Krishna prema. This is actually our goal. And if we do have, if we develop, even in this lifetime, this love for Krishna, then there's no doubt we will go back home, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. So we'll achieve both purposes in one go. But a pure devotee, he's not bothered actually whether he's... Jai Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Sri Sri Gopalnath ji ki jai, Sri Sri Gaurachandra ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Because he's happy whether he's in this material world or whether he's in the spiritual world. He's happy wherever. Because he's always conscious of Krishna. And wherever Krishna is, there is always happiness. What is Krishna's nature? Krishna is... It's explained by Lord Brahma, who's actually the head of our sampradaya. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Anadi Radhya Govinda. Savakarana Karanam. So Krishna, he's not only the supreme lord of all the worlds, both material and spiritual, but he's actually Satchit Ananda Vigraha. He's eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. And what is our nature? Our nature is the same. We're also Satchit Ananda Vigraha. It's difficult to realize that sometimes, at least in my case. Maybe you're realizing. I'm sure the brahmacharis here are realizing, because they're always in ecstatic Krishna consciousness here. But we, our nature is actually full of knowledge, full of bliss, and it is eternal. So this is our right, actually, to achieve that. And this is what Krishna, the Supreme Lord, wants us to achieve. He wants us to actually achieve our original blissful nature. Of course, there's a big difference between Krishna and ourselves. Krishna is infinite, he's unlimited, he's omnipotent, all-knowing, present everywhere, and we're infinitesimal, very tiny, very small. So therefore, our tendency is to be overwhelmed by the material nature, by the three modes of material nature. So that's what we're talking about here. That actually we become overwhelmed by ignorance. And this ignorance is actually born from the mentality of wanting actually to be the enjoyer, separate from Krishna. So, at the moment, we may be in various modes at different times, just like in the early morning, the sattva gun, the mode of goodness, is predominant. If you get up early in the morning, 3, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, it's very peaceful, very pleasant. You can do your things, whatever you want to do, without interference from others. Usually you don't get too many phone calls at 4 o'clock in the morning. Or the radio isn't blaring next door or something. There's actually... In the temple that I joined Krishna consciousness is in London, Soho Street Temple. Sri Sri Radha Landanishwara. Anybody been there? To Radha Landanishwara? No, you should go, because they're the most merciful and beautiful incarnation of Krishna. They are the original, of course I'm biased, but you'll forgive me that, I'm sure. They are the original full-size Radha Krishna deities in ISKCON, in the entire world. They were installed 40 years ago. We just had celebrations at the end of November on Odan Shasti. We had the 40th anniversary of their installation. Srila Prabhupada himself installed those deities in 1969. And they were very merciful to me. They brought me to their lotus feet somehow or other. But next to the temple is a nightclub. Actually, on both sides of the temple, there are nightclubs. So when people are going to Mangalarti at 4:30 in the morning, because there it's at 4:30, here it's at 5 o'clock, you have a concession here. By the mercy of your neighbors here. Originally, they weren't so happy with Mangalarti at 4:30 in the morning. So, but there in London, the Mangalarti is 4:30 in the morning. So devotees would come from outside at 4:15, 4:25. And the people in the nightclubs would be coming out at that time and getting in their taxis, and there'll be a whole uproar in the street, Soho Street, with taxis hooting and people shouting, and they're half drunk, scantily dressed ladies, or for want of a better word, ladies. But that's a very degraded place, Soho. But usually, the mode of goodness is predominant at that time. And of course, then those people who are coming out of the nightclubs, they go and take rest throughout the day for their 10 or 12 hours after having been up all night. They go and spend the whole of the next day sleeping. So this is a mode of ignorance. So the different modes are competing with themselves. So over time, gradually, as the day wears on, the mode of passion starts to kick in. Everybody thinks, I've got to go to work. So they have a quick breakfast, because we've got to dive into the railway carriage. That's not an easy task in Mumbai. if you're not used to it, you can easily be left on the platform or squashed under people's feet. Like that, it's certainly can be for a stranger to Mumbai, it can be a terrifying experience, actually. So the mode of passion is very prominent at that time, isn't it? When everybody's going to work. And then throughout the day, the mode of passion becomes very prominent, with constant activity, answering phones, more than one phone, and maybe in the stock exchange, you see these pictures of stockbrokers, and they're shouting in one phone, they're shouting in another phone, they're shouting to somebody over there, making deals left, right, and center, trying to make money, hankering, trying to make their fortune so that they can actually retire and give it all up. So then gradually things start to wind down, and the mode of ignorance starts to become more prominent. So then darkness comes, and the tendency is to sit down in your armchair, watch TV, which is total ignorance, I can tell you that. I know from personal experience that actually TV really does induce ignorance. Because actually it's a very passive activity. You're actually living life through somebody else's life. You know, like you're seeing some soap opera. I don't know what the soap operas are in India. I don't know if here you get Coronation Street or Neighbours or something like that. Do you get them? But I'm sure there's some soap operas where, you know, you're just seeing ordinary people's lives. You know, and whatever they're doing, their work and their family life and their divorces and their different escapades and things. And, but it's very much mode of ignorance, because you're not actually doing anything yourself. You're just observing. And I don't know if you've had the experience, I certainly did have the experience when I was a youngster, of getting up on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning and just watching TV for hours all through the day. And at the end of the day thinking, that was horrible, that was terrible. Why did I do that? And it just totally drains your energy. So this is what the mode of ignorance does. It drains our energy. It drains our intelligence. It induces indolence. Does everybody know what the word indolence means? It means laziness. It means apathy, having no energy, not wanting to do anything, just wanting to sit back and do nothing, actually. So we actually have to avoid this mode of ignorance like the plague. Like in London, in the 17th century, I think it was, there was a plague caused by rats, bubonic plague. So rats caught this infection, this plague, this illness, and they passed it on to people. And people were dying in their thousands. So, of course, we have different forms of plagues now. It's like AIDS or, I don't know, so many different illnesses coming about. So we must actually think, actually, this mode of ignorance is like the plague. We must avoid it at all costs. Otherwise, we're going to be condemned to a life of suffering. We're not going to achieve the goal of life, which is to go back home, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. We're just going to be condemned to repeated birth and death. Old age, disease, birth and death. So this we must avoid at all costs. So, these qualities of the mode of ignorance, three qualities are mentioned in this verse: madness, indolence, and sleep. So, it's described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that madness counters the mode of goodness. Because what is symptomatic of the mode of goodness? The mode of goodness is knowledge. You can discriminate what is good, what is bad, what is beneficial, what is detrimental to my welfare and others' welfare. But madness means you don't know what is good and what is bad. In fact, you think what is bad is good and good is bad. You think that irreligion is religion and religion is irreligion. So actually today, in today's world, people are thinking, at least in Manchester, where I'm staying at the moment, many people think that football is religion, actually. And they are treating it like a... And their stars, their football stars, are actually their idols, literally. Because they're putting pictures on their walls of their footballs, their favorite football stars. They're willing to pay a fortune to go. They pay in Manchester, they pay £40 or £50 to go and see a football match. Do you know how much that is? It's, who's good at maths? Say £50 times 75 is how much? So that's how much you can go. You will go and pay £3,750 rupees, to go and see a football match. It's madness, isn't it? I don't know what it costs to see a cricket match in Mumbai, 200 rupees. And you know what? They also pay for a shirt, just a little, a t-shirt, which probably costs, I don't know, maybe it costs 50 rupees to, or 20 rupees to make, but they'll pay another £50 for that. Madness. It's just crazy. It's also exploitation. Because young people, children, they become mad after these things. And they just insist, oh, I must have the latest shirt. And every year, they bring out one or two new shirts, new football shirts with new design and or with a different name on the back, like that. So that, so in this way, these football players, they're paid. You can do some more arithmetic. They're paid, sometimes like £100,000 a week. How much is that? £100,000 a week times 75. £75 lakhs. Yeah, anyway, I don't understand lakhs and crores and things, but anyway, you understand the, get the idea. So, isn't this madness? For kicking a ball, this is ignorance, actually. It is really ignorance. That somebody can be paid so much money just to kick a ball. And when people are struggling just to make ends meet in this world. And some people, just for doing some nonsensical, stupid activity, kicking a ball, they're getting paid, whatever it is, 75 lakhs or 750 lakhs or whatever. 750, so it's the same thing, is it? Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of money anyway. So it's madness, it's ignorance. And it's based on greed. Just so that a few can enjoy and can think that they are actually something special. Therefore, so many others are suffering, in actual fact. And the followers, so this is the society of the cheaters and the cheated. So they are the cheaters, but the people are being cheated. So therefore, this Bhagavad Gita is so important. Srila Prabhupada actually explains at the end of the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita how important it is. He says, if one adopts the principles enunciated in Bhagavad Gita, he can make his life perfect and make a permanent solution to all the problems of life. This is the sum and substance of the entire Bhagavad Gita. So we must take the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita very seriously. It can actually make a permanent solution to all the problems of life. He also says that if one properly follows the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, one can be freed from all the miseries and anxieties of life. One will be freed from all fears in this life, and one's next life will be spiritual. So it is so important. This is the way that actually, by understanding what is going on in the world, even in our own lives, that we are actually influenced by, to some degree or other, by this madness, or by this indolence, and by this sleep, then we can do something about it. But if we don't know anything about it, if we don't understand the forces of nature, then what can we do? We're just like puppets on a string. In fact, that's what we are like. There's one picture you may have seen, how there are three figures representing the modes of material nature, and they're holding strings, and then there are people dancing like puppets, being moved by the strings, like that. So if we're in ignorance, we're like those puppets on a string. We're just being moved by the modes of material nature. And ultimately, what is the result of that? The result is nature takes its course. And what is the course of nature? Everything in this material world becomes old. Everything in this world becomes degraded. Nothing stays as it is without very strenuous effort, doesn't it? We can't even keep ourselves clean without very strenuous effort. We have to bathe two or three times a day just so we stop from smelling or too much sweat coming in this climate anyway. If we don't wash our clothes, they become smelly. Our car, if we have one, it becomes dirty very quickly. The room. Every day you have to do some cleaning. So this is the nature. Everything degrades, everything becomes contaminated, everything becomes dirty in this material world. So therefore, we have to counteract this. We must engage very sincerely and seriously in the process of spiritual life. So that is the process which has been given to us by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is, not only do we have to be externally clean, which is mode of goodness, but we have to become internally clean. Otherwise, the mode of goodness will degrade to the mode of passion. And the mode of passion will degrade to the mode of ignorance. We cannot think, oh, just because now I'm in, have knowledge, I have a nice life, I'm well educated, I have everything I need, I lead a good life. It won't last. Nothing lasts. You have to keep working at it. Everything degrades. So, and unfortunately, we're not capable of maintaining the mode of goodness on our own. Because ultimately, what happens? The body becomes old and weak. The mind itself even also becomes weaker. We're not able to maintain that same standard. We have to be looked after by other people. We revert to childhood, more or less. Just like little children, they have to be looked after by their mothers and fathers, totally helpless. And at the end of our lives also, that often happens. We become totally helpless if we happen to survive that long. So therefore, it's essential from an early age, from the earliest possible age, that we actually engage in the process of Krishna consciousness. And that, in this age, because it's the age of Kali, age of quarrel and hypocrisy, we have to have a very simple process. So that process is chanting and dancing and feasting. Chanting the holy name of the Lord. Because Krishna and His holy name are the same. They're non-different. So Krishna is Satchidananda. His holy name is Satchidananda. His name is pure. So by associating with Krishna, by chanting His holy name, because His holy name is Him, then we're coming in touch with the supreme pure. And just like the sun evaporates a dirty pool of water, it cleans. It sanctifies. In the same way, the holy name of the Lord sanctifies and purifies our whole nature, our hearts, which have been contaminated. Cheto darpanam marjanam bhavamaha devagni nivarpanam. Our heart is like a mirror that has become covered by dust for many, many lifetimes just by being in this material world. So we have to clean the mirror of the heart. And the primary way to do that is to chant the holy name of the Lord. And in order to do that properly, we need to associate with devotees. So we have this ABCDE. Does everybody know what the ABCDE is? The formula. A, we have to Associate with devotees, yes, you know it. Association of devotees is so important. On our own, it's very, very difficult. We're so weak. We're so insignificant, aren't we? So association of devotees is the essential principle. After that, B, books. Yes, we must read Srila Prabhupada's books. Read the Bhagavad Gita. Not just read, but apply it in our lives. Read and understand and apply and help others to also do the same thing. And then we can become fixed in our spiritual lives. And then what is C? Chanting, yes. You're very well educated here. Chanting the holy name of the Lord. Glorifying the Lord in his pastimes. And D? Diet, yes. So we take Krishna prasadam in the association of devotees whenever possible. That Krishna prasadam, Srila Prabhupada says, is the diet for this age. And chanting is the medicine. We have to have both. You have to have the diet and you have to have the medicine. And then you get E, which is? You don't know this one. And yes, you definitely get enthusiasm. But you also get ecstasy. Spiritual ecstasy, not material ecstasy, not something that comes in a pill. Just like they used to say in the early days in the 1960s, chant and be happy or stay high forever. Because the hippies in those days, when Prabhupada first went to America, they were taking drugs. But with these drugs, with LSD and things, you may get some high, but then you have to come down again. And then it's even worse. You feel terrible, apparently. I never took it, fortunately. But with chanting, once you we have reached a certain level of advancement in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness, I'm told. I haven't reached that myself. But that ecstasy will be permanent. And we will feel, and we'll never actually feel anything other than that spiritual bliss like that. So, can't see the clock from here. So it's time to stop. I thank you for your very kind attention and tolerance of me. And if there are any questions we can discuss or any realizations, please. Yes, please. How do we avoid responsibilities? We don't. Spiritual life is not about avoiding responsibility. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's only, for the time being it is, but it's not the only way actually. There's so many different ways to earn a living. And of course, we land up in a certain situation according to our karma, our previous activities. If we haven't somehow or other studied hard enough at school or done the right things, we might land up in a not so good occupation. But the principle is that actually whatever situation we're in, we can add Krishna. If we're in an unfortunate situation where we have to do something which is not so conducive to spiritual life, then okay, for the time being, we tolerate that. We may try to change it. And we may pray to Krishna to please help me to get a more favorable occupation like that. But in the meantime, we can still chant. We still chant and we still fulfill our responsibilities, whatever they are. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he encouraged, when he went on his tour of South India, he encouraged so many devotees actually to stay where they are. The Kurma Brahman, he wanted to leave his position and just travel with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, no, you're a householder. You stay where you are. You look after your family. but you just chant Hare Krishna, read Bhagavad Gita, learn Bhagavad Gita, and tell other people about Bhagavad Gita, tell other people about chanting. So if you do that, Krishna will make all arrangements for you to be able to change your occupation if that is required. But a nice question, thank you very much, Prabhuji. But definitely spiritual life is not about avoiding responsibility. It's actually taking real responsibility. Just like we were learning yesterday about cow protection. Now, that is a responsibility, to protect cows properly. And therefore we have to get the knowledge of how to do that properly. So actually there's much more responsibility in spiritual life. In fact, actually, outside of spiritual life is lack of responsibility. It's not taking responsibility. Because we're just doing things whimsically as we desire, not according to the instructions of the Supreme Lord. We think, oh, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that. What is responsible there? So we can conduct our family life properly for Krishna, as a service to Krishna. That is real responsibility. In a way that pleases Krishna, ideally also, like that. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhuji. Indolence, yeah. Madness. Madness, indolence, and sleep. It means lazy, doing nothing. Through the association of more advanced devotees. Association of devotees, yeah. Actually, on your own, it's very hard. It's very difficult. That's why we should always seek the association of devotees as much as possible. Of course, it's not always possible for us, especially when we first come to Krishna consciousness. We may be we may be on our own, living on our own. We may be in a family where others are not devotees as yet. But still, just like for me, when I first aspired to become a devotee, I was not living with devotees, but I was taking every opportunity. Like I would come in the morning to the Bhagavatam class, to the temple. I would also sometimes go, we have a lunch program there in London. I'd also go for a Bhagavad Gita class in the evening as well. Or just, actually, even if we can't do those things, because for some people that's very difficult also, because, you know, you're in a distant place, Tane or something. It's long, long way away to come here. I mean, there's temples near there, but if you can't get the association of devotees, at least you read Srila Prabhupada's books. You hear kirtan. You find ways to listen to classes. So many classes you can download now on the internet. Like that. So that is actually really the best way. On our own, it's very, very difficult. Because we've got to get out of the modes of nature are born out from the mind, actually. Therefore, if we're just in our own mind, what can we do? We're just a prisoner of our minds. Therefore, we need others to tell us, oh, you do this, you do that. Or, you know, and then we realize, oh, yeah. But if we're just relying on our own minds, we're actually just relying on the modes of material nature, and therefore we will automatically go down into indolence or laziness, sleep, madness, like that. So, good. Yeah, because we have a gross body, subtle body, but gradually the purification comes with chanting. So, and then we start following the intelligence. Actually, we should follow the intelligence, educated by reading the Vedic scriptures, by reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, other books also, by hearing and learning from devotees. Yeah. And then we know, oh yeah, that's just the mind telling me. That's my old bad habits, my old conditioning, like that. So then the intelligence takes over. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. How to improve the chanting? Right. Again, if you're in the association of those who are chanting nicely, it helps very much. Keep chanting. That's another thing. Practice makes perfect. Try to avoid the offenses against the chanting of the holy name, of which the greatest offense is, well, different times, different offenses are considered the worst. But inattention causes all the other offenses, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I believe. So try to be attentive. Try to just hear the sound vibration. Try to make our lives as much as possible mode of goodness as well. Because it's not just like we can have 2 hours of chanting every day and the rest of the day we're just doing all nonsense. We have to try and bring everything in our life into the same tracks. We can't be going in different directions. That's difficult. And there's many nice books explaining actually how, in fact I've got one very nice book called Nama Rahasya by Satchinandan Swami. Satchinandan Swami comes here sometimes, I believe. I don't know if any of you have seen him or heard him speak. So he does nice japa retreats also. If you go to Varshana in Vrindavan, in Vraj, then he'll do like a 10-day japa retreat. So that's an opportunity just to concentrate on chanting. And then they'll do 2 or 3 days of 64 rounds every day. Everybody's doing 64 rounds a day. So then it becomes much easier to do because you're in the association of devotees. So take opportunities like that. But it takes practice. We can't necessarily expect it to happen overnight. Any other questions? Yes, probably. How to invoke the power to remove the vices which you know you have and have identified within yourself and are still continuing and are unable to be removed with your efforts? Okay, very good question. Well, actually, we're dependent on the mercy of Krishna and of the Vaishnavas. We actually don't have any power. Just like you see, there's a picture here somewhere of Jagai and Madai. They were the most sinful people. They were doing everything wrong. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, he actually delivered them. So we're dependent on the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why, actually, when we're chanting, we're begging Krishna, please engage me in your service. And then the inauspicious things within our hearts will be purified by that desire and by associating with Krishna, by hearing Krishna, by reading Krishna, by following the process of Krishna consciousness. Then all these unwanted anattas, they're called, unwanted things, will be purified automatically. But it may take a little time, so we have to be patient. Like Rupa Goswami says in Upadeshamrita, there's three qualities required. Utsahan, nishchayat, dharyat. Utsahan, we have to be enthusiastic. That ultimately, if we just persevere with Krishna consciousness enthusiastically, we can be confident that actually the result will be there. Because our nature is pure. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Saja Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitti Karya Udoi. Actually, we are pure souls, full of love for Krishna. And it just needs to be awakened. It's already there within the heart. that purity is our real nature. We're like pure water. Maybe there's some contamination in there. But it's... And how is it purified? How is the soul restored to its original condition of purity and blissfulness? By shuddha-chitti, by actually hearing and chanting, following the process of Krishna consciousness, all the limbs of devotional service, hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, prayer through humility, so many worshipping the Lord, right there. So, and this is actually the process. This is what we're trying to do, purify our hearts. This is the whole process of Krishna consciousness. There's nothing else really. This is because we are pure, actually, our original nature. But we're covered over by these modes of material nature. But it's not us. We're not this body. We're not this gross body, this subtle body. We're not these vices that you talk about. We're actually pure spirit soul. Sat-chit ananda vigraha. Nothing else. That is our real nature. And this is what Srila Prabhupada and the devotees want every individual to recover, that pure spiritual nature. And this is what actually will, if we pursue with determination and patience, just be a little patient. And then in due course of time it will come. And if you're just starting off in Krishna consciousness, you just experiment. Try chanting. Try chanting a little more. Try reading more. Try associating with devotees, offering food to Krishna. And then that diet and that medicine will actually purify us of all these vices, which are actually the things which are causing us the suffering. So it's very good that, you know, they being identified. And actually, but sometimes, just like we were talking at the last chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, was churning the milk ocean. What happens when you churn? Poison comes up. So these anattas come out. So before, we may not have realized, actually, we have so many unwanted things. Lust, greed, anger, madness, illusion. But then through the process of Krishna consciousness, we realize, I'm not as good as I thought I was. There's so many unwanted things, so many vices. But that's good, because that poison, what's poisoning our lives actually, is coming to the surface, and it just needs to be taken away, swallowed by the Supreme Lord. He will purify it by chanting his name, by hearing, by seeing the Lord, by worshipping the Lord. Everything will come. Hare Krishna. So we should stop now. Thank you very much for your kind attention and nice questions. Srila Prabhupada ki.